Psalm 51, and a lot of messages I've preached from this text, but God's given us some to me. There's nothing new under the sun, but something different new to me, but the thought's still the same. And we're going to talk about biblical confession, but we'll give you the thought. I'm going to read just a few verses, probably about the first 13. And I know you're familiar with your Bible. Most of you are. You understand this is a song of repentance, or some call it a penitent psalm, where David is getting right with God over sin. The Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." I wish I'd have thought of that Sunday. Multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Now I'll stop reading there for sake of time. May the Lord add his blessings. Now again, I want to do my best. If God will help me, he'll have to help me if I do anything right. There's some questions in this text. There's some questions that I want to ask by way of introduction, thinking about in this text biblical confession. Now, in the text, there's a fourfold confession that David makes to the Lord here. And sometimes I've missed that, and we know about his sin. And of course, we'll get to that in just a moment. But there's some questions tonight that the Spirit of God's put in my heart. The Lord's been dealing with me in this area. And so I want to ask four questions, or some questions, and all of them have the same answer. I won't remember that. I've got some questions, and all of them have the same answer. Now, number one, why can't the Christian have revival? Why can't the Christian have revival? Number two, why can't the Christian get the power of God in their lives? Number three, why can't the Christian get prayers answered? That's three. I have four in the message. But the answer to those three questions all have the same answer. Every one of them have the same answer. Why can't the Christian have revival? Why can't the Christian get the power of God in their lives? And why can't Christians get prayers answered? Well, the answer is this. We have gotten lax about our sins. Now, again, a lot of folks don't want that mentioned because we see the extreme of David's sin, adultery, murder. Now, you and I, we look at that, man, that's an extreme thing, and God should have dealt with him about that. Folks, God deals with us about all of our sins. Amen. God dealt with my sin on the cross. He deals with my sins every time I commit one. Amen. But the answer is we have gotten lax, this is my thought, about our sins. Now, again, lax, it means careless, general, forgetful, casual, oblivious, neglectful, or lenient. And folks, that's exactly what David got about his sins. David had got lax about his sin. Now, some of you may say, how do you know that? Well, it didn't even bother him until Nathan called him out. Amen. That shows you that he got lax about his sins. And many times, God's people, we have got the same way over our sins. We've got lax about it. We've got casual about it. We've got forgetful about it. We've got oblivious and neglectful about our own sins. Again, David got lax about adultery and about murder. Again, I mentioned David's sins. We call them extreme sins, and I guess we can. Now again, I've made this statement many, 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 many times. Sin is sin, and in general it is. But not every sin has the same effect. The sin that of Sodom and Gomorrah, it caused God to burn a city down. Cities of drunkenness, God's never burnt them down. See, some sins, God calls an abomination. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. If you preach like that, they say, well, there's no love in you. Folks, how much mercy did God show them before he burned it down? Talk about Abraham's prayer life. Yes, right. Lord, if you find so many, went all the way down, was it 10 or 5, and still couldn't find one righteous soul in the city. God's fire, rained fire and brimstone on the place. But yet, we understand that in 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is disobeying, breaking what God said do, or breaking or disobeying what God said not do. In essence, it's violating God's will. Any action, thought, or state of being that violates God's standard is sin. It's sin. Now again, nobody's going to stand and get up and name their sins. You know why? Because we believe the Bible. You do not have to confess your sins to your pastor. Now, this sin God made public because David got lax about it. If nothing else, that ought to put fear. It puts fear in me. It ought to put fear in us. The Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to us. The Holy Ghost has been on me, man, for a couple of weeks, bad about this. Getting lax about sin. Thinking nothing of it. Thinking it's okay. It's not okay. And then we wonder why we don't have the power of God in our life. Wonder why the church or we can't have personal revival. Wonder why our prayer life is hitting brick walls. Well, we gotta always go back to ourself. What we do is, well, I'll tell you why our church ain't having revival, that preacher or that thing. We ain't having revival because we're not having personal meetings about our sins. Amen. Amen. Reason David didn't have the power of God in his life, he wasn't because of anything that was going on in the kingdom. It was what was going on in his own life. Right. I'm glad he took responsibility for it. And it got right with God. And getting ahead of myself, I'm glad we can get right with God. Amen. Now, folks, this was David, the great psalmist, the harpist, the singer, the killer of giants, the man of war. The man that God raised and said, he's a man after my own heart. And he got lax about his sins. The easiest thing in the world for me and you to do is concentrate on each other's sins. And I'm going to go ahead and say something. The Bible says, if you say you have no sin, then you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Right, that's right. Amen. Amen. But we pick sins that way. They sin different than me. Their sin's worse than anything I've ever done. Hey, folks, it's all disobedience to God. It's all disobedience to God. It's all breaking the standard that God put in his word. All of it's breaking. So therefore, I really don't have time to to concentrate on your sins. I have enough of my own and my own flesh to deal with on a daily basis. Not just a daily basis, an hourly basis, a moment-by-moment basis. Because in me that's in my flesh dwells no good thing.
That's right,
so therefore, we have to deal with ourselves. And when we start dealing with our sins again, an old preacher said one time, they asked him, he said, do you have a, somebody asked him, said, he was a preacher, had real high standards and things, and they asked him, said, you think you're perfect? He said, I don't live a perfect life, I live a confessed one. Again, not okay in sin. Sin will break our heart. We got, hey, if nothing else, we need to pray, God, enable me to look at my sins like you look at my sins.
Amen.
Give me the same insight about my sins as you have about my sins. Because I promise you, if you want to get comfortable in your sins, you can find somebody else that's doing the same thing that'll get comfortable with you in your sins. There's always somebody that'll get on your bandwagon no matter what the bandwagon happens to be at the moment. You want to gossip? Somebody gossip with you. You want to cuss? Somebody cuss with you. You can put fill in the blank. There's somebody there and will make you feel better about it. Well, it's not as bad as so-and-so. That stuff's went through my mind before. Well, I ain't as bad as old so-and-so. I ain't as bad as old so. God says, hey, you remember what when Jesus and Peter was walking on the seashore? And the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And all of a sudden, John was falling a little ways off, and he turned around, I'm paraphrasing, and he said, what about him? And the Lord basically told him, said, don't you worry about him. I'm dealing with you. So we don't need, you can look at a lot of people and make yourself look very spiritual.
Right.
Oh, I'm more spiritual than them because I do this and they don't. And I do. Hey, put yourself beside Christ.
Amen.
Put yourself beside the Lord. And you'll find out, oh, Lord, have mercy upon me.
Amen.
So we see David. He made a biblical confession about a few things here tonight, and I want to share them with you. Now, notice a biblical confession. He made a biblical confession of who God is, the first thing he did. He made a biblical confession of who God is. That was the first thing he did. If you notice in the first four verses, let me read them to you again quickly. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, preacher, what are you trying to say? Number one, you got to remember, a biblical confession of who God is. Remember, God is not some abstract thing.
Right.
He's a person.
Amen.
He's a real person. He is one that sees what we're doing.
Right.
He said in verse 4, he said, I did it in your sight. That alone ought to keep us in check, but we forget it. We get lax. We forget the sins that we commit. He is seeing it, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. He sees everything. I can remember years ago when I was a kid, they'd be around toward Christmas time and we'd be at home and I'd be misbehaving or something. My mama would say this. She'd say, Santa Claus is watching you. And I'd get to looking at the windows. I mean, she had me believing that. She'd been better off to say, Jesus is watching you. Because he's real. And he's the one that matters. Jesus is watching you. He's one that sees what we're doing. He said, I've done this evil in thy sight. God is the one that speaketh. He said, he's talking about when God speaks, be justified. He talks about him being the one that judgeth. He might as be justified when thou speakest to me clear when thou judgest. He sees. He's gonna deal with it. He's gonna judge us for it. But he's also one that forgives. Right. You got to remember, he made this statement: against thee and thee only have I sinned. Right. Again, I didn't write this. God did. Well, he sinned against Bathsheba and he sinned against Uriah, but he confessed his sin to God. That's who he sinned against.
Right.
And he made it clear, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand all of that, but that's what he said. Against thee, folks, when we sin, it's against him and him only. So, not only we see a biblical confession of who God is, we know that he sees all, he'll deal with all, he'll judge all, but if we'll take care to confess it, he'll forgive all.
Amen.
We can't forget that. We cannot forget that. But I believe, folks, Christians cannot be sinless, but we can sin less. Everybody here has a sin which does so easily besets them.
Amen.
And if you have any kind of heart for God, you hate it.
Right.
You hate it.
Right.
You hate the ground it walks on. You hate it. But you have to deal with it. You have to acknowledge it every day that it's there. And the Lord said, and folks, again, this is what God's dealing with me on. The Lord said his commandments are not grievous. So when he said lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that means he says I've give you the power and through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do that.
Right.
We're not helpless and hopeless in sins.
Right.
We're choosers and partakers in it, or we deny it. It's one or the other. It's simple. One or the other. Either we are partakers in it, or we deny the flesh and try to walk in the Spirit.
Right.
So a biblical confession of who God is. But then he said in verse 1, he blot out our transgressions. He washes us thoroughly and cleanses us in verse number 2. Isaiah 43:25 says this, I, even I, and he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I like that. I, even I, and he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. If you'll get to God with them. If you'll get to God with them. Folks, the Lord, when you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he's not one to keep bringing them up. If something keeps bringing them up, it's either our flesh or it's the devil. But notice, secondly, I've got to hurry. My time's coming to a close. A biblical confession of who God is. Now, in verse 5, we see another confession, a biblical confession of what man is. In verse 5, notice it with me. He said, behold. You know, the word behold in the Word of God is a word that ought to get our attention.
Right.
Behold, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I preached that one Sunday, and a man came to the back door and said, wait a minute. He took offense to it. In his mind, I was calling his mother something. And I said, no, I'm not. That's not what the verse means. He said, his mom might have been in sin, but my mom wasn't in sin. I said, all right. I said, he's talking about our first birth being contaminated because of sin.
Right.
Because of Adam. He said, oh, okay. I thought I was fixing to get cut. He said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, number one, I was born in iniquity. Paul said it like this in Romans 7:18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You cannot do good within yourself. He said, I know in my flesh there's no good thing, for the will is present with me. The Spirit of God's there, but in me, myself, I can't do it.
Amen.
Nobody here can live for God within themselves.
Right.
Nobody here could. Hey, the Bible said, in the flesh, no man can please the Lord.
Right.
Nobody can please God in their flesh. None of us can. We have to do it through the Spirit of God. And Paul said it right. For I know that in me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But he said, for the will is present with me. The Spirit of God. He said, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I cannot do it. Nobody in here can. That's why we had to submit to him. That's why we got to pray. And that's why we got to make a conscious decision every day. By the grace of God, we're not doing it. By the grace of God. Lord, work through me. Empower me. Help me. Guide me. Lead me. Strengthen me. But he goes on to say, a biblical confession of what man is. I was born in iniquity. He said, I was born. It talks about transgression. It talks about iniquity. Isaiah 48:8, the Bible says this, yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ears was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and wast called a transgressor from the womb. See, the very best thing you can do is admit you cannot live right within yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Folks, the Apostle Peter found that out when he spoke boldly that he was going to live for God within himself by his own strength and by his own merit. We found out what happened. Lord, all shall be offended, yet will not I. And the Lord broke some news to him. Said, here's what you're going to get trying to live for me through your flesh. You're going to deny me. And not only did he deny him, but he made a public spectacle of himself, cursing and denying he didn't know who Christ was. A chosen apostle. Used greatly of God. Preached on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit. But God give us an example of even David and also the Apostle Peter, two different sins, and we find very clearly in ourselves we'll fall on our face every time.
Right. Right.
We'll fall on our face every time.
Right.
So we see a biblical confession of who God is, a biblical confession of what man is. But then thirdly, in verses 7 through 12, and we won't take time to read all of that, we find a biblical confession of what sin does. Sin does a few things. Number one, sin makes man unclean. Verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That lets us know. He said, I'm dirty. I need cleansing from the Lord. Verse 10. Creating me a what? Clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. So we got to understand a biblical confession of what sin does. Sin makes man unclean.
Right.
Sin makes man unhappy. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He's broken over this. He has a contrite heart. He's broken. He can't believe what he's allowed in his life. So he's unclean and he's unhappy. He's unclean and he's unhappy. Here's what God said about Moses in Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. What did he say? For a season. For a season. Just a space of time. space and time. I used to hear the older preachers talk about when they used to have the billboards up of a woman with a drink in her hand, or a man with a beer in his hand, you know, on a billboard advertising alcohol or whatever. And that preacher would always say, but they don't show you what's behind it. The devil shows you the fun for the season. He wants you to be a part of the fun for the season. But he don't show you what really happens. And not only does my sins and your sins hurt us, but they hurt our families and they hurt those around us.
Amen.
That's right. Sin makes man unclean. Sin makes man unhappy. And Proverbs 13:15 said this, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin makes man unacceptable. What did David say in verse 11? Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, I don't want your presence and your power to leave me. But sin will do that. Sin will cause us to walk afar off, and we can't be in the presence of God, can't have the power of God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we see a confession about who God is. We see a confession about what man is. We see a confession about what sin does. Sin does nothing good. Sin does nothing good. Sin produces nothing righteous. Ever since man fell in the garden, that wasn't good. God created Adam and Eve in a state of innocence. The very first dispensation, they was created in a state of innocence. But as soon as they partook of the forbidden fruit that God said, don't eat it, lest you die, they left innocence to consciousness. They were automatically conscious of their sin and their disobedience to God. Their eyes was open. But it was open to sin.
Right.
See, the devil told them half-truths. Oh, your eyes be open, you be as gods. Hey, he didn't tell them, your eyes be open to sin. God had to make provisions for it. And sin ever since has done nothing but cause misery in our lives.
Right.
I can't speak for everybody, but there's a lot of things I wish, even since I've been saved, I could go back and do over. But you can't do it.
True.
I can't do it. You can't do it. Oh yeah, we can get it right with God. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad He'll clean the slate. But the regrets and the pain and the shame that comes along with all that stuff lingers.
Right.
And I'm going to say something that might blow your mind. I don't think it's a bad thing that it lingers a while. Not a bad thing, guilt lingers a while. Guilt lingered in David a while. That's right. Guilt lingered in Peter a while. He went out wept bitterly. It lingered in his heart a while. Why? Because it ought to break our heart when we break God's heart. In order to be so effective on us, not that it stops us in our shoes and we by faith, we accept what God said. Confess our sin genuinely. Hey, be broken over it. Get to God with it. And by faith, we accept His word. He has forgiven it. It's gone. It'll never be brought up against us again from God. But it always ought to linger a little bit for us to know, I do not want to feel like that again. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to live like that again. I want to stay right with God.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I don't want to disappoint the Lord. Don't want to disappoint my family. Don't want to disappoint my church. Don't want to disappoint people around me. I want to be right with God.
Amen.
It ought to be something that shakes us up.
Right.
That's the problem. We've got lax about it. No, I'll just go confess it. Ain't no big deal. None of us ever said that out loud a day in our life, but we've acted it out. We've acted it out. Boy, I'm looking at some awful spiritual looking people out here tonight. And that's our issue. That was David's whole issue about his sin. If he'd ever took his sin seriously or took sin seriously, he'd never been in that place. Folks, he wasn't planning that. They weren't planning that sin. Then he got out of control. Instead of dealing with it right then, he begins to cover it. It got worse. It got worse. Then look. He had an illegitimate baby with Bathsheba, and God took it. Sin caused that. He wasn't planning that day, but he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he laid back, and he saw something he shouldn't have saw, and he allowed it to run through his heart. One thing, and then we see him in Psalm 51. Then we see Nathan the prophet dealing with him. Let me give you one final thought and I'm finished. My time's gone. We see a biblical confession of who God is. We see a biblical confession of what man is, a biblical confession of what sin does, but then lastly, a biblical confession of what repentance is. Get a hold of this. You don't want to miss this one. A biblical confession of what repentance is. Number one, repentance produces revelation. Look at verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Folks, true repentance, produces revelation. What that means is, look where his desire is now. Thou desirest truth in the inward man. Lord, I want you to show me everything in me now. I want you to help me get all this mess out of my life now. Now that he's truly repented, man, he's seeing things now. Lord, I don't want to go back to that. And whatever else is in me, I want to get it out.
Amen.
Repentance produces revelation. Then repentance produces renewal. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, folks, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but David was a man after God's own heart. Do you realize just how backslid his heart was at this moment? And again, man, I'm thinking about this. And then you get to think about your own sins. Man, Lord, I didn't even realize how backslid my heart was. What happened? Pride. Position. Power. In other words, I can't do nothing about this. I can't do. Look who I am. Oh man, the Holy Ghost gets you with that. The Spirit of God, boy, he'll pounce on you with that. And it caused him not to have a right spirit. I believe, again, I'm not trying to add to scriptures, but a man after God's own heart, and now he's talking about renew a right spirit within him. He's telling us his heart wasn't right. So what was going on here? He done got arrogant. He done got self-righteous. He done got his mind, conscious or not of it, he knew it in this chapter. He thought he was above reproach. He thought he was above God chasing him. He thought he was above being found out. He thought he was above anybody or anybody, anything, being able to do anything about what he did. And he didn't care. He got lax. God hit him right in the face with it. Repentance produces revelation. Repentance produces renewal. Verse 12, repentance produces restoration. Thank God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So we ask him to renew a right spirit within him. Lord, get all this junk out that's in here. Renew a right spirit. Then he said, restore unto me the joy. So you know what happened? He had absolutely no joy. Can I ask the Christian something today? You don't got to raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine. Have you ever had the joy knocked out of your life because of you? You ever had the joy of the Lord? Oh, salvation is secure. We're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. That's never been in question. That wasn't in question here. David didn't say, restore to me my salvation. He said, restore to me thy, the joy of thy salvation. He didn't even lose his salvation. He lost the joy of it. And folks, that's a miserable place to be. It's an ugly place to be, and I don't want to live there. He said, Lord, I need my joy. He began to desire truth again like he used to in the inward parts. He acknowledged that his spirit wasn't right, wanted it renewed. And then that sin had zapped his joy. What was he doing? He was just going through the motions of living for God. He was just going through the motions of living for God. Because that's all we've ever done. Go to church. Fellowship with Christian people. And the whole time, those Christian friends has the joy of the Lord. And you sitting there acting like you got it. Preacher, what has somebody told you about me? Nothing. Nothing. This is a message me and the Lord got. The Lord, anybody told me nothing about you. Then repentance produces revelation. Repentance produces renewal. Repentance produces restoration. But look at verse 16, 17. Repentance produces regrets. For thou desirest not sacrifice else. Look at 15 first. Let me back up. 16, sorry. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David finally regretted what he did. Folks, we ever going to have revival, the power of God, prayer life, we got to truly regret what we did. Not that. See, it's very clear David left to the place of sorry got caught to sorry he did it. And that's where we got to get. That's where we got to get. Not sorry that we got caught, sorry that we failed God after he's been so good to us. After he's been so merciful to us. After he supplied all of our needs and way and above. Hey, we got to get to the place to begin to say, Lord, I hate what I did. I hate my sins. I can't believe I've done that against you. And then didn't think nothing about it till you called my hand at it. Folks, you understand the greatest day of our lives, number one, was when the Spirit of God put us in a conviction and showed us we were sinners by birth. And then as Christians, that didn't feel good to me. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The Lord shined light on me about my soul. And folks, you understand, it's a great day in your life when the Spirit of God shines light on your sins because it proves you're a child of God. And He loves you enough to call you on it. So you can get right with God, so you can have fellowship with God and have the power of God in your life like you're supposed to. But as long as we were like David at the beginning, lax about it, really unconcerned about it, we'll still be God's children. We may still have our position. We may still have certain privileges, but will not have the power of God. And that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing in every Christian's life, is being right with God. Being right with God. Again, folks, thank God for His mercy. And I'm not contradicting that. I'm glad He's merciful. We'd all be in a mess. We'd all be in trouble if it wasn't for His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. But folks, we got to get to the place where we're no longer lax about our sin, but we're serious about it. And as soon as we feel the flesh rearing up, as soon as the devil tries to direct our mind, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, or whatever, we've got to say, "Whoa, I remember how that felt. I remember how bad that was. I'm not going back there. I'm not losing the power of God and the joy of the Lord. I'm not doing that again." And it has to be a decision. And by the grace of God, we make every time Satan starts it. David had too much to lose to allow that to mess his life up. And we have too much to lose to allow anything to mess our lives up. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So there's actually a fourfold confession. A biblical confession of who God is. A biblical confession of what man is. A biblical confession of what sin does. A biblical confession of what repentance is. Lord, help us. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. The altar is open. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.